in his introduction to, I can't remember, one of his plays, Lalita Madhava, Vidarbha Madhava, Rupa Goswami writes this very famous verse, Tunde Tundavani Ratim Bitanali Tundavali Labdaye. And there he's glorifying the holy name of Lord Krishna. And exhibiting the symptom of a liberated soul who just really can't get enough. He says, if I had millions of tongues, then I still wouldn't be satisfied by chanting Krishna's names. And if I had millions of ears, then I wouldn't be satisfied by hearing Krishna's names. And then he says, when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, that's a very nice, very beautiful example. Just like we're also here inside traditionally, in India, there's no need for a temple. The temple's outside, so it's in a courtyard. And it's only the deities who have a covered area, a temple actually. It could be also covered, but there's no need for walls because of the weather, there's no need for heating. And that's where all the kirtan and the dancing is taking place. It's taking place in the courtyard. And a real Vaishnava, his heart is also like a courtyard. In his Baal Sangit, do you know there's one group of Upasampradaya, they are called the Baals. Alvar Kartabhajanida. And the characteristic of these Baals is that they're very, very beautiful singers. They sing really, really nicely. Unfortunately, they're debauchees at the same time. So their singing doesn't have spiritual potency, but it's very attractive. And so in order to actually attract these people, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote under a pseudonym of a bull name. What was the name? It was a Tiger. But it was a ball. That was a last name. So then all of these sahajas, they'd be very, and he wrote a whole series of songs. This was this Mama Mana Mandiri song also. So they would sing these songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but because Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs were perfectly in tune with the Siddhanta of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then ultimately, I don't know what the result of that was, but they would get spiritual benefit and they would give up their wayward ways. So there also, Mama Mana Mandiri, my mind is like a mandir, it's like a temple. Devotees, as they practice Krishna consciousness, advance in devotional service, they live with Krishna all the time because Krishna is present within their hearts. Krishna is also always present within our hearts, particularly as a super soul. But we're not aware of that, therefore we make our hearts more like a garbage place of so many things. However, as devotees become more developed in their Krishna consciousness, then Krishna, no longer super soul, but Krishna, and the Ishtadeva, their worshipable deity, appears within their hearts. He appears within their hearts because heart becomes such a pure place. It's like a temple. In the same way that deities appear within the temple, they're installed there, and they appear by the desire of a pure Vaishnava. So in the same way, they appear within the heart of a pure Vaishnava. And that should be what our hearts are. And in that way, wherever the devotee goes, Krishna's there, Krishna's present. So Shyama Sundaram Achintya Gunasvarupam Premanjana Krita Bhakti Vilochanena. So Vaishnavas see within their heart Krishna is always present. And as they're chanting Hare Krishna, the holy name is dancing within their hearts. And holy name is dancing means that Krishna is also dancing. And according to the individual desire of a devotee, or as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu points out, according to the Ishta, or a deity, a devotee's worshipable deity, devotees become attracted to a specific form of the Lord. Generally, Gaudiya Vaishnavas worship Radha and Krishna. Radha and Krishna, Gornitai, Radha and Krishna, Gurgadadhar, Jagannath Balaram, Subhadra, these are the Ishta or worshipable deities of devotees. And then devotees also have their preference. Particularly, they become very much attached to a particular form, feature of the Lord as he manifests through a particular deity. Radha Govinda, Radha Gopina, Radha Madhava, and they all have their unique features, unique moods that they display, and very often it reciprocates with the mood of the devotees. You'll see that if you look at, they have this very beautiful DBT published this darshan book, and it's just all the deities of the world. The deities very much resemble the countries that they're from, not the countries, but the people. If you look at the deities in Mexico, they look like Mexicans. And of course, black deities were black anyway, so in Africa, they like it that we have a black god over there. But they have that particular, they reflect certain things, and particularly they reflect the real pure devotional mood of a devotee. And therefore when devotees call out Krishna's name, then Hare, Srila Prabhupada explains in different places, it means different things. It means Hari, or Hari refers to Lord Krishna. Hari is Krishna's name whereby Krishna removes all of our material suffering. Hari it also means someone who's a thief. Krishna's a butter thief. He steals the hearts of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. He steals the hearts of his devotees. So when devotees think of Krishna in some particular feature, then they call out to him like that, O Hari. And particularly when devotees are worshipping Radha and Krishna, then Hare means O Hara. It refers to Srimati Radharani. Because they're never separable, Krishna is never separable from his eternal associates. So then devotees also call out to the Lord's internal potency. And that's superior. Superior in the sense that it's always better to approach Krishna through his associates. So even when chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, then Hare Krishna means that we are not approaching directly, but like Guru Gauranga, we go through Guru. And Srimati Radharani is also Guru. She's also the original spiritual master. Her entire mood is to bring others to Krishna. And that's what guru means, someone who brings others to Krishna. And that's very much reflected in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's avatar, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha Bhava Dyuti, Krishna, who has the mood of Srimati Radharani. And one of the aspects of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood is that he's very concerned for the condition of the fallen conditioned souls. Krishna also has that same mood anyway, of his own volition. It becomes very much heightened, obviously, by his adopting Srimati Radharani's mood. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is more compassionate than Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada many times says that Krishna is very, very merciful. Krishna is unlimitedly merciful. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is even more merciful. And because she wants to bring others to Krishna. Krishna's mood of giving mercy is that he sees the living entity suffering and he wants them to come out of suffering and enter into the spiritual realm. On the other hand, Srimati Radharani's mood is a little superior. It's different, it's also superior in the sense that she knows how great it is to be Krishna's devotee. Krishna just knows how great it is to be Krishna. But he doesn't know how great it is to be a devotee. And therefore her motivation is in that sense stronger. It's more heartfelt. It's more realized because she's bringing people to Krishna. She's exhibiting mercy from that point of view, from the point of view of someone who's tasting unlimited bliss in Krishna's association, and she also wants others to taste that same bliss, and she doesn't discriminate. It's interesting that this sort of lack of discriminatory ability is present. It's present in women. That's what Srila Prabhupada refers to when he talks about women being less intelligent, is that they're discrimination is overwhelmed by their emotions. And because men aren't such emotional creatures, therefore they're able to generally keep a balance better. But that wasn't the point I was trying to make. The point is that in the pastime of Ashwatthama's punishment, when Arjuna finally brings Ashwatthama back, Draupadi, who's a Kshatriya, so she's very, very fiery, when finally it comes to punish him, she says, no, let him go. I don't want his mother to suffer the way I suffered, because he killed, Ashwatthama was responsible for killing 5 sons, and the war was already finished, so there was nothing really to achieve. And then Srila Prabhupada, in the purport, he says that Draupadi, she's Krishna's associate, eternal associate. She's a partial expansion of the goddess of fortune. But she's not an ordinary personality. And yet Prabhupada says that this shows the nature of women, is that they're more emotionally bound and they act according to their emotions, and therefore they don't exercise their discrimination. And so Draupadi, even though he should have been punished, she wanted to let him go. In a more transcendental sense, Srimati Radharani doesn't make that discrimination. She doesn't make any type of distinction whether people are qualified or not qualified, they're sinful, they're pious, they're Brahmins, they're Malechas, they're this, they're that. Everyone should just come to Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then reflects that move. Namo Maha Madanya. He doesn't. Anyone. He's willing to give Krishna Prema to any personality, no matter how fallen and how lowly they are. And Lord Nityananda is also in that same mood, in one sense even more in that mood. So when we call on Hara, O Hare, O Hara, Hare, then we're invoking this type of extraordinary mercy, and certainly it's very much to our advantage to be the beneficiaries of the mercy of Srimati Radharani. And of course Krishna, then we also know, Krishi Bhuvachaka Shabdho Nascha Nivriti Bhajaka. So there are so many meanings to the word Krishna, but most relevant is that Krishna is the supreme all-attractive person. So, Hara, Srimati Radharani, please allow me to also be attracted to Krishna. For those living entities who are on the other side of this material ocean, it's incomprehensible to them how we're not attracted. For us, it's incomprehensible how we're going to become attracted. Some attraction we see is there, but still our attraction to Krishna's external potency seems to be very, very strong. And we somehow not in the need to awaken within our hearts a recognition of the fact of just how attractive Krishna is. But we can experience that. We can experience that. Srila Prabhupada, I was just watching last night this Acharya One video after a kirtan, and Srila Prabhupada was there talking about these are called senior moments. Don't worry, you'll all get them. Right? You get up to do something, and by the time you stand up, you forgot what you stood up for. Anyway, Srila Prabhupada was certainly saying something on the video. Just can't remember what it is that he was saying. Krishna is all attractive, very, very beautiful. Oh yes, about the chanting Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada was, this was in Los Angeles, and there was, if you watch any of his videos, if you went to Los Angeles, they have this karate school in the background. And Prabhupada just sort of like sprawled out on this pillow, just leaning back, and many, many devotees are there, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Vishnu John, Ramachar, and Jai Tirtha. And Prabhupada's talking, and in the background, really, really loud, it's just, and Prabhupada's just, you can barely hear him, it's so loud. And Prabhupada's talking about, they think that they're going to be saved by chanting this. But we're chanting Hare Krishna, and we'll be saved by Krishna. And Prabhupada talks about how chanting is so wonderful, how attractive it is, and that we're chanting, and why are we chanting? Well, it's only, you can only do this, now this is 2 days, we're chanting more or less non-stop. You can only do it because Krishna's name is so attractive. And when devotees become tired of chanting, and they sit down, and they just look at Radha Govinda, and you don't get tired of looking at them, because they're also so attractive. No matter how much maya devotees get into, they never say, I really got tired of looking at the deities. No one says that. Because they're so attractive. So there's this sort of tension or competition going on between our growing attachment to the attractiveness of Krishna, and still the past attraction that we have, sort of habitual attraction to the material energy. And the whole idea is that the more and more we associate with Krishna, the more and more that attraction fades and this attraction develops until one becomes, Prabhupada says, mad for Krishna. That's what Krishna consciousness means. Because we realize more and more and more how attractive Krishna is, and ultimately it becomes so attractive that devotees become unhinged. They become mentally unhinged for the reason that the attractiveness itself is so intoxicating. It has an intoxicating effect. So when someone is intoxicated, he's not all there. He's overwhelmed by the substance. So similarly, the substance of Krishna's beauty becomes so attractive that it makes one actually lose one's mind. In other words, the regular balance that we keep in terms of relating with things, that just goes all out the window because one has become intoxicated. And then everything else appears to be not so beautiful. So when the gopis met with Krishna at Kurukshetra, then they said this very famous verse that they're cursing Lord Brahma because they're blinking. He made eyes that blink. And he says, and when we blink, we don't see Krishna. Therefore, this creator is a fool. It's their own words. He says, he must be a fool because he doesn't know how to make eyes that don't blink. Fish don't blink. And so this is Krishna, and of course Rama means Ramante Yogino Nante Satyadanda Chidhadmani Iti Rama. That Rama means the source of all transcendental pleasure. Srila Prabhupada, way, way back in the 50s, wrote this very, very wonderful essay for BTG, his BTG. Which it was the beauty and truth, because there was some discussion, popular days discussion, about whether the truth is beautiful or not. And Srila Prabhupada was pointing out that yes, the truth is very beautiful, because he's a person. The absolute truth is a person, and he's the most beautiful person. And not only is he beautiful, but he's the source of all transcendental bliss. And therefore, when we become Krishna conscious, then we also become very blissful. Anandamaya abhyasat. Ananda, we use this word, ananda, bliss. And one becomes blissful, immediately one becomes blissful when one comes to the spiritual platform, because it's the nature of the soul. Anandamaya purusha, it's the nature of the purusha of Lord Krishna. He's also full of bliss, and everything in relation to him is also blissful. So when we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's very extraordinary exhibitions of transcendental emotion, when he's crying or rolling on the ground, these are all different exhibitions of ecstasy, and they're also blissful. But it's very difficult for us to experience or understand how it is that crying can be happy. Of course, we do have experience like that, isn't it? Sometimes we become so happy that we cry. Although generally, when we're crying, it's because we're so miserable. We're not exactly happy. But that's there. As well as so many other symptoms. And Sanatana Goswami gives an example of that. He says, don't try it, but he says if you put your hand in fire, it will feel cold. In the same way that you put your hand on ice, it burns. Right? It's actually a type of burn when you freeze. So it's treated like a burn. So it's the same way that what appears, that sort of spiritual ecstasy of what appears like pain, and he's talking about separation from Krishna, it appears like pain, but actually it's the greatest happiness. Anyway, we understand that in philosophical terms like that. Ultimately, it's something that's meant to be tasted, or meant to be experienced. So Hare Krishna Rama, these wonderful words, and everyone chants Hare Krishna. All of our acharyas, they've given. Srila Prabhupada has explained the words in so many different places. Many others Jiva Goswami, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Raghunath Das Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, they explain the entire mantra, different meanings, different words, and sometimes they explain it in different contexts. They explain it sometimes from the context of a practicing devotee, sometimes they explain it from the context of a perfected devotee. Raghunath Das Goswami explains the Maha Mantra as Srimati Radharani chants it. Everyone chants. It's not something that's simply meant for us. We call it a Maha Mantra, as a mantra being something which is part of Vedic literature. And for the sake of appearing authentic for conditioned souls, for those who are followers of the Vedas, the Maha Mantra also appears, Kali Santara Upanishad, and it's referred to in other places. But it's not a mantra, it's not a Vedic mantra. It is the song which is the highest expression of love that's displayed by the inhabitants of the spiritual world for Krishna. In other words, when you come to the most wonderful stages of ecstasy, then what comes out of your mouth is the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Sanatana Das Thakur says, Golokira Premadana Harinama Sankirtana. So that topmost experience of transcendental bliss is made available to us who are in the lowest position of mundane misery. And if we take this thing very seriously, this Maha Mantra, as a real jewel, extraordinary jewel, something that beyond which there's nothing more valuable, it's the most valuable thing that we can have. And Srila Prabhupada, true to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood, came to the Lower East Side, to the Bowery, and to the most degraded, forsaken people, gave this most wonderful thing, and gave us so many books, really, just to make us appreciate what chanting Hare Krishna is all about. Because if we can just appreciate it and do it, follow in the footsteps of the acharyas, then for sure all success, all perfection will be there. Anyway, Hare Krishna, we should therefore we should think that we don't need anything else. We don't need any mantras, we don't need any other tantras and yantras and whatever. So many things which are already there. Everything is given. Anything that you can get by any other religious process, by any other type of Vedic ceremony, ritual, sacrifice, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That you can get by chanting Hare Krishna, and that's just by offenselessly chanting Hare Krishna. That's just by the shadow of the holy name, not by the real holy name. By the real holy name, you get what you can't get by the other things. That's you get love for Krishna, and with love for Krishna, you get Krishna. And none of these other things can give you Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada points out in the introduction to Krishna book, and that ultimately the goal of our Krishna consciousness movement is to enter Krishna's rasa dance. It means to actually chant Hare Krishna along with Krishna. I'll just make mention of one last night's incident. Just recently I got a letter from a devotee in Mayapur, and there was this Mataji from South Africa. Her name was Sachi Mata. No, Mata Sachi. Or Sachi Mata. Same. And she was sick. She was dying. And leukemia? I think so. And she was there. She went there. I think she went there around Gaur Purnima time. And gradually over the period of the months, she had sons, young sons, and her husband would wither, And devotees were with her, and she was staying in the conch building, and gradually she was sort of giving up her attachment. So one evening, not long ago, she was laying there, and her body was trembling, and her husband asked her what was wrong, and she said, "Nothing," she said, "but Krishna came to me, and he asked me to dance with him, and I couldn't go. I couldn't go." And then sometime later, a very similar thing happened. And the husband said, "And so, what's happening now?" She says, "Well, Srimati Radharani came, and she said, you should come and dance. She said, you could refuse Krishna, but you can't refuse me." And then she left her body just on Rasa Purnima, which was just very recently. She left her body, obviously. She left her body in Mayapur Dham, so she went back to God. So, and this is just, anyway, who would know such a South African lady, who, a householder lady with children. But everyone can get that benefit or the blessings of Krishna consciousness by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. They just have to follow the process, chant 16 rounds, follow regulated principles, and you go back to Godhead, and Krishna will come and ask you to dance with him. Because that's what Krishna wants. He's very greedy, and he wants more and more and more people to come and participate in his festival. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Govinda ji ki.